Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and I'm the host of this podcast in which we discuss Big Brother 17 each and every week with different former Big Brother house guests for robhasawebsite.com. This week, I'm joined by two great gentlemen that both played Big Brother Canada 3 with me. The first is a man who it was rumored that this man faked that he had a broken thumb. It was also rumored that this man is the father of Zach Olenek. And this man hates Twisto's twists. It's Bruno Aiello, ladies and gentlemen. Bruno, welcome to
the show. What's up, everybody? Thanks for having me, man.
Bruno, thank you for joining me. The second man is the other half of the Epilogue Alliance. And this is an alliance that was never really broadcast on the TV show, for shame, because it's a great name. This man loves to do celebration dances at instant evictions and laugh at inopportune times. He's a great man. And yes, it's a coat hanger, sweetie. It's Bobby Palad. How are you doing, my friend?
What's going on? Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What's up, Bobby? What's up, JP? What's
going on, thank you guys so much for joining me. Bobby, I'm glad that you brought the Gito and you're drinking a Bud Light Apple, I believe that is. So it's bringing back memories of Jury, my friend.
That's got 100 bucks.
Now, before the show, for those of you who don't know, Bobby and Bruno just recently played on Big Brother Canada 3. And during our season together, Bobby and Bruno just continuously screwed me over at any chance that they have. And a lot of the times that they screwed me over, it was in the jury house, so it did not make and they decided to wear a shirt that says 5-4. Bobby, could you please show us the said shirt? So there's 5-4.
I love you, JP.
Love him, man. Love him.
And for those of you who don't know, that vote is the number I was evicted by in week 5-4 at the hands of these two gentlemen. So thank you both.
That's awesome.
Thank you both. And shout out to Zach Olenek and Cindy with an S for also helping make it happen. Before we get this podcast started, Bobby, Bruno, how the hell are you guys doing? It's Big Brother Canada 3 just happened. It wrapped up a few months ago. How has it been like adjusting to real life? Because people really want to know this. So Bruno, let's start with you.
You know what? It's been crazy. You know, I went back to work a couple of weeks after I left the show, or after, you know, Niagara Falls and stuff, went back to work. I got two kids, so they've been keeping me very busy. It's been great. But you know what? It's been amazing. I don't know if it's just being the only person from Ottawa, but I've had a lot of love from the city. You know, it's been amazing. Nothing but positive. And I can't complain. It's been awesome, awesome, awesome. And I love it. It's been great.
That's awesome. Now, Bobby, like me, you have not been getting the most love out there. So tell us how it's been going for you. What's it like in Oakville?
No, it's good. I mean, I get the random drive-by. Should have took the 10 grand, bud. Other than that, it's been pretty good. Everyone's pretty positive to me. I went right back to work after a week, so I settled back into my normal subcontractor lifestyle, which is what I do before rock climbing. I do rock climbing at night. So it almost felt like sometimes I honestly forget I was on the show just because I've been doing my job for 8 years and I only took 3 months off. So transition was super easy for me. So I'm loving it, loving the attention. I try to meet as much people as I can, back into my normal routines.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I'm really looking forward to Big Brother Canada 33, the season 3 redux, when they just bring back all the season 3 people back and we play against each other again, because you're probably going to screw me over and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I can't wait. But no screwing me over on this podcast, please and thank you. I would really appreciate that. anyway, before we get into Big Brother 17, because that is what we're going to be talking about this week, I just want to give a huge thank you to everybody who has left a rating and a review for this podcast on iTunes. You can do so by going to robhasawebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. And you can subscribe that way to our show. You can leave us a rating out of 5 stars if you really like it, or you can leave a low rating if you don't like it. But regardless, whoever leaves a rating and a review at the end of the season, I'm going to put your name in a draw to win a chance to have a 30-minute Skype call with me, which is not the greatest prize, but it's all I can offer because I have no money. So let's leave a review like some of these people. For example, we've had some good reviews. And you know what? The good review that I had pulled up. Yeah, here we go. It's from P. Minhas 09. He gave it 5 stars and he said, great podcast. Very fun and entertaining. But there's also been some negative reviews. And if that's what you want to say, then that's also great. Davey Pa 411 gave it 2 stars and he said, quote, not a very good podcast. The host is rather bland. So, you know, if that's how you feel, I don't really mind because, hey, 2 stars is better than I deserve. So whatever you want to do, if you could just leave us a rating and review, greatly appreciate that because it's going to help this podcast grow. We're already in the new and noteworthy section on iTunes, which is awesome.
Nice.
Really excited about that. Okay, enough housekeeping. Big Brother 17, let's get into it. Jason, last night, is evicted by a vote of 7-2 over Becky. But before we get into the ramifications of the week, let's get into what happened at the start of the week. So Jackie and Vanessa were our initial HOHs, guys. And their original plan was to go after Austin after he spilled the beans to Jason that Liz has a twin named Julia. Now, Bruno, I'll throw it to you. Is it a smart move to branch outside of your alliance by trading information like this? And did Austin just handle this in poor fashion? Or is this something that should just not happen when you're somebody in Austin's position?
You know what? I'm going to say you can't blame the guy. He's trying to play the game. He's trying to make little sub-alliances on the outside, which, you know what? It's something I probably would have done too. He's kind of at the bottom of the totem pole at his own alliance, so he kind of has no choice. Vanessa even wanted to put him up and, you know, basically showed him, like, listen, I'm willing to get you out of this game. You're nothing to me, even though she's saying, oh, we're best friends. But she was willing to cut him that week when he's someone that's not even going after her. So you know what? I mean, some people might see it as a dumb move. The way I see it is he was just trying to branch out and just kind of better his position. You know, it backfired, but that's Big Brother. You know, you got to take risks.
I think Jason is the wrong person to branch out to, though. I think he could have probably picked someone else. Like, even Vanessa is saying, like, why did you trust Jason with that information? Like, you know, you're just going to go right away and tell everyone. I guess Austin read that bad. But, like, I agree. He did need to branch out for sure. You always need to, so.
Now, Bobby, now that you say that, what do you think he should have done differently then? So maybe instead of going to Jason, should he have gone to someone else? Or do you think he just approached it in the wrong way?
I don't know. I don't think he approached it in the wrong way. He could have picked a different person, I think. I think maybe he wasn't as tight with Jason as he was with Jason. So he knew maybe that information, well, I guess he didn't know, but that information is probably more likely to leak. I would have probably picked the person I had the strongest ties with, or maybe a person who didn't have strong ties with anyone. I was kind of just looking for, like, maybe another amigo or something, and I would have worked with that. But I definitely wouldn't have picked Jason because he seemed kind of very he's going to tell everyone everything pretty much. So I think he screwed up with the person he picked, but I do like the idea behind it.
I agree with you. You know what, Bobby? I agree with you on that, too. That's true. He did pick the wrong person. The thing is, like in Big Brother, man, you know, information is currency. That's how you kind of bond with people. You know, you share a little something and you know, maybe he was just trying to reach out. Yeah, it was just a bad move. But hey, if it worked, he would have set himself, in a very, very good position. But it did backfire.
So I agree with you. I think that Jason probably was not the ideal person to share that information with because clearly he has really tight bonds with people on the other side of the house. And it's already been shown this season. As soon as Jason heard from Davon about the twins, he ran basically to everyone saying, hey guys, there's a twin twist. And he really kind of spilled the beans. So I think Austin should have had the foresight to know that Jason probably isn't the smartest person to tell that sort of thing to.
Absolutely.
Bruno, who do you think would have been a better person to try and branch, you know, try to reach out to build a relationship? Somebody perhaps, I know Bobby mentioned somebody who had no relationships with, or somebody who is more of a floater in the house, I should say.
Yeah.
So who would have been a better person, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I like Steve or Johnny Mac. Those are kind of people that, Steve, you know, maybe. They're kind of there, you know, but they're not really there. Johnny Mac's my boy. He's my pick. Love Johnny Mac. I hope he does it. But, you know, yeah, he picked the wrong person. He tried to make a little move to kind of better himself. Again, he just picked the wrong person. I think Steve would have been a good person to talk to.
I think Steve or Johnny Mac, because they're almost seen as, at least they're saying, as a kind of duo group there. They kind of are in a pair there. So I think that would have definitely been my starting thing there. If he can get closer ties with, even if like, yeah, once she comes in, he'll know that like he was telling the truth and even work on a relationship long term, even if it wasn't such a long term plan. So I would have went to Johnny Mac probably and Steve. I think that would have been the best bet.
Okay, now Jackie ends up nominating Liz and James, with James planning to throw it. Vanessa decides to nominate Becky and Clay, who volunteers. Bobby, the two of us have some experience volunteering to go on the block.
Go Clay! Great ideas all over the place. At least he's better at veto than us.
We both know it's not the best idea to volunteer to go on the block. I mean, at least with how it turned out for us. Is there ever a time when it is okay to volunteer to go on the block, or no?
Well, if I might try to cover my own ass here, JP, I knew Kevin was obviously going to throw me up. I knew it was between me and Bruno. I was almost 100% sure it was me. The second he won that HOH, I knew I'd have at least a chance. I thought it was stupid that he didn't even want to backdoor me. No offense, Kevin. I thought if you're going to try to take out a physical threat, you want to backdoor him. You don't want to let him fight in veto. So I knew I'd at least have that extra chance to fight in veto if I volunteered to go on the block. And that way it kind of looked like I was almost helping Kevin, which I don't know if he bought that or not. But and also selling my veto live too. So I thought, still maybe not a great move for me, seeing as the way it turned out, but at least I had a chance to fight for my life. I would have been pissed if I got backdoored that weekend, had no chance. So no regrets, really.
So you would say that the only time it's excusable is when you know you're going to be the person nominated. Bruno, would you agree that's the only time it's excusable for you to volunteer to go on the block? Or is it not even excusable to volunteer to go on the block in that scenario?
Well, you know, it was no secret that Kevin wanted Bobby out of the house. It was kind of one of those things. He saw him as a big threat. I think Bobby made the right call. At least he was guaranteed to play in the veto. If his name didn't get picked, he was just a sitting duck. So you know what? As I know it sounds worse than it is, where you're saying, oh, I volunteered to go up, and but you know what? In his case, he did the right call, I would say.
All right. Now, we see that Clay ultimately saves himself by winning the POV. The house assumes that Austin is going to be the main target. And after bashing Austin on the Sunday episode with her sister, Julia, in the diary room, I don't know if you guys remember that, Liz then seems to have a bit of a change of heart on the Wednesday episode when she's talking to Vanessa and Shelley. And she says, well, Austin is a number for our side and he's always going to protect us. In the end, Vanessa decides it's best to keep Austin for her and for the Sixth Sense Alliance, and names Jason as a replacement nominee here. Bruno, did Vanessa make the right move here? Saving Austin, it guarantees that she's going to have another number on her side of the house moving forward, but she angered four people in the process.
Yeah, you know what? That side of the house has been winning everything pretty much at this point. They have a really strong team. I think she kind of did make a, you know, the right call, but I don't like the way she handled it. The way that she went up and told him, listen, I'm putting you up, convince me not to, that kind of screwed everything up. Because now, like I said earlier, he knows that, you know, she's willing to just get rid of him. That's something that you don't want people to know. And he knows that she's willing to just get rid of him, and he's nothing to her. Now, she also angered the other half of the house. So, you know, it doesn't work. And he's going to have Liz and Julia with him, hopefully. But the whole reason why they let these twins in the house, I don't get that. You know, I know they see a number, but the whole point of Big Brother, you want to get people out of the house. You don't want to open the door and just let anybody in. I didn't like that play, but.
I thought that was so far-fetched how they wanted an extra person to survive another week. Like, we would have killed just to take some, for me and Cindy to take that bet in the vault there. Like, it blows my mind. But I actually think that Vanessa, I think she actually did the wrong move, maybe. I don't know. But I think maybe she should have just stuck with the plan. The damage is already done. Now she's just going back on her word. She had a pretty solid thing with those eight people, I guess. But like she said in the episode, she said, I'm going to be the first person they go after. And after, they're almost probably right. The whole reason, JP, that like I was scared to kind of vote you out was because I'm the first person to go on that side of the house, for sure. I knew that your side of the house, I'm going to call it your side of the house, was going to come after me first, before Bruno, before Sarah, before maybe not before Cindy, just because of her situation. But that's why it was so much more risky for me to make that move and be decisive about voting you out than it was for anyone else, because I was already a target and I was definitely going to take the fall for that, if not Cindy. So I don't know. I don't know if I agree with Vanessa's move to put Jason instead of Austin. I get it's a number, but long term, I think she kind of, no one's going to trust her anymore. In long term scenario, it's going to be hard to trust Vanessa.
See, the way I see it, like, the lines are already kind of drawn. There's this side and that side. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a target no matter what. She's been doing a lot of the calls, and people are kind of on her. And she even said, you know, Jason is the strategic player from that side. Without him, they're going to crumble. And you know what? To be honest, I don't see too many strategic players on that other side of the house. I think by taking him out, the rest of them are kind of just they don't really know what's going on. That's the way I see it.
So speaking of Jason Bruno, do you think that going after him was the right move? Because when you do backdoor somebody, you want to get out a huge threat, somebody that is going to clearly come after you. As far as it was shown on the television show, it didn't seem like Jason was gunning for Vanessa per se. So do you think that she should have maybe taken a shot at a Jackie or somebody else?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. It's who she sees as a bigger threat. She's a strategic player. She sees him as a strategic player. So it's one of those things where maybe she just, you know, it's a battle of the minds. And, you know, she just wants to get out the other side, the king of the other side, I guess you want to call it. I don't know what you want to call it, but that's her counterpart. And if it was me, I would have done the same thing.
Bobby, what about you? What do you think about that? Would you have gone after Jason, too?
Oh, well, judging by like the conversation I heard in the house, everyone seemed to agree that Jason was pretty strategic. Whether or not they show it on the show, because I don't think they showed it much at all on the show at all. Maybe on live feeds, you might notice more. Like, I'll even compare him to Johnny in the house. I thought Johnny was a super strategic player. He was a scary, scary, like, I was completely scared of Johnny. At one point, I wanted to switch my, to get out Johnny over Kevin. But it wasn't really shown that much in the house. But like, we knew, like, well, I'm going to say the chop chop right now. We knew that Johnny was a huge, huge mental threat. He played a great social game, but it really didn't show that much in the show. So it's hard to say without watching live feeds whether it was a good call or not. They seem to be pretty sure of it, so I'm going to have to assume they know what they're doing.
That's so true, too. I don't watch the feeds either, so I don't know. It's hard to see what I see.
Yeah, no, I think that Jason, like Johnny, and for those of you who did not watch Big Brother Canada 3, Johnny Calatrulio, great dude. He was one of the strongest players on our season, but if you didn't watch the live feeds, you didn't really necessarily see that on the television show. I think that Jason is very strong mentally. He's got a lot of willpower. He's got some great ideas about the game, and he's just a huge Big Brother fan, so I think because of that, people really were threatened by him. I don't think I don't think he was overly scary, but like you mentioned, Bruno, I don't think there was anybody who was a huge strategic threat on the other side of the house that you could really point to and say, okay, that person is really calling the shots. They didn't have that sort of person. So I guess Vanessa kind of just gravitated towards Jason because of that. Now, I have another question for you guys. This Dark Moon Alliance, okay, forms on, I believe it was, they show it on the Sunday episode. That and it's broken by the Wednesday episode. So it has almost as big of a shelf life as the Sweeping Seven from Big Brother Canada 3.
Sweeping Seven?
Does can it make the first alliance
ever? Actually, no. I think Sweeping Seven took the record for the quickest alliance ever broken, because me and Bruno talked in the hot tub probably about, what, half hour after we had conversation?
We won.
Bruno just could not believe we just made that alliance.
Yeah. We literally made the alliance in the HR room, walked out the door, and we're like, no, nah, man, not going to happen. No way.
So my question for you guys is, can an eight-person alliance ever work for longer than a week on Big Brother?
No, you know what? I mean, well, maybe a week, okay, but no. When the alliances are way too big, there's just, you know, way too many chiefs and just too many egos and too many different views and it doesn't work. The smaller, tighter alliances always work when there's just too many opinions. Obviously, everyone's looking out for themselves, and you know, it just doesn't work. So, no, eight people, I think that's way too many.
Even six was hard to manage in the chop shop. So, like, and look at it; it was hard to manage. I mean, two of them weren't really loyal, right? So. I can only imagine eight people worrying about eight people and what they're doing, other relationships with everyone else.
Yeah, I think anytime you have an alliance that is 50% of the population of the house, it's a little not good. When you first start the game, I think it's a little too much.
Well, the Sweeping Seven was like 90%.
It was just ridiculous. It was just.
Oh, man. The Sweeping Seven. Okay. So we saw Jason campaign to save himself. He identified with Jackie correctly that there were three pairs that were available for him to campaign to. He had the pair of Clay and Shelly. He had the pair of Johnny Mac and Steve. And he had the pair of, we'll call it the Oz twins, Austin and Liz/Julia. Do you think there is anything that Jason could have done other than what he did in terms of approaching Clay and Shelly? Or do you think that he kind of was screwed and there was nothing he could have done?
Okay. Bruno, because I don't.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say it was, you know what? Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a little bit of both. I was surprised he went to you know, Clay and Shelley. I thought he was gonna go to Steve and Johnny Mac probably first. Yeah. But again, I don't know if he did and they didn't show it. We don't know. But I thought he was definitely gonna go to Steve and Johnny Mac and try to work something there. But no, he chose Clay and Shelley, and it didn't work.
No. Yeah, I think with he didn't try with Clay, or sorry, with Johnny Mac and Steve, because Johnny has a really close relationship with Becky. So because he was sitting next to Becky on the block, he just didn't think he could get that vote.
Yeah,
now, you know, Bobby, yeah. So sorry, go ahead, Bruno.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, like I told Bobby when he was on the block, I said, you got to fight. When you're in these four walls, you fight. When you walk out that door, it's done. So as long as you're in this house, you fight. If he's friends with Meg or whoever, Becky, it doesn't matter. You got to fight. And I just felt like, you know, there's always something you can try to do. And I just felt like he didn't do it. That's all.
Now, one of the people that we should discuss here is Vanessa. She's won two head of households already. She gets out her guy this week in Jason that she backdoors. She's won a power veto. She's done a lot so far in this game. We're only 5 weeks in. She's already got quite a bit of blood on her hands. Do you think that she is the best player this season so far because she has made a lot of things happen and she hasn't been nominated? Or do you think that she's in for a rude awakening pretty quickly here? Bruno, Bobby.
Well, there's three sides of the house, JP, and she hasn't been on the block because her side of the house has pretty much been winning every single week. And we saw it on our season where, trust me, Zach and Kevin would have been on that block pretty early, right after you left, actually. But you showmances and you diaper lions kept winning those HOHs, so there's nothing we could do about it. But she has got a lot of blood on her hands. I think she's in for a definite rude awakening if the other side of the house wins HOH, no doubt.
So, Bruno, would you agree with that? The competitions is with the Sixth Sense. That's what's kind of masking Vanessa's game so far. And that if because of that, she's looking a little bit better than she actually probably stands in the house right now.
Yeah, I mean, she's sitting, you know, right after this last week, I'm sure she's going to be in a little bit of trouble. But I still think the other side will want to get rid of Clay or Shelley. Maybe before her. So she's kind of in trouble, but you know what? She's a smart player and, you know, she can probably talk her way out of certain things. I think she can do okay, but yeah, she's definitely on the radar. I think she's, people are definitely looking at her to get her out, but I still think they're going to want to break up.
She might have to sell out Clay and Shelley at some point, and I don't wouldn't even put it after to do that. So I think if her back's against the wall, I think she might end up doing that. So,
yeah. Oh, for sure. She will. For sure. She will.
Yeah. If she's smart.
If she's smart, which I think she is, but we'll have to wait and see for that one. Now, Julie Chan last night drops a couple bombs on us, and one isn't really that big of a bomb. It's Julia is entering the house, and everybody, even the house guests, know that there are two twins that have been switching back and forth each week, and they figured at one point they would both enter the game. Sure enough, week five, just as in Big Brother 5, these guys are both in the house playing as their own individual players. I don't know if you guys saw, but they took Jace's photo down from the memory wall and they put Julia's photo up.
I didn't see that. That's brutal.
Yeah.
You got voted out. Let's go for Jerry.
So poor Jace.
Sorry, I just think that gets
his photo removed and Julia's goes up instead of his. Now, you guys briefly mentioned it a little bit earlier. What do you guys think about this idea of keeping the twins both in the game, not getting rid of them? Vanessa had an easy chance. She had the power veto that was going to work for this week because Clay was coming off the block. She had the opportunity to backdoor Liz, get rid of two for the price of one. Do you think that that is the right move in terms of keeping the twins so that way you have two votes in your back pocket? Or do you think that these guys are growing really complacent here? They have to realize, hey, these are two people that are strong pair and we should probably go after them. Bobby, what do you think?
Here's the thing. If they were going to do it, they should have done it as soon as possible and way earlier. Now it's almost too late. Now there's less people. They should use them to their advantage. Now that extra number means so much more than it would have earlier. So I think now maybe it might be somewhat of a good idea, but I just can't fathom the idea of wanting to have to last another week by adding someone to the house, because I know our season would definitely not have done what their season is doing right now. I don't know how she convinced them or Austin convinced them that was a good idea, whoever did, I can't remember, but I just thought that was crazy. But as for right now, they'll be sitting pretty with an extra vote in the house as long as they stay loyal. But when do you ever stay loyal in Big Brother, right? So
unless it's with me, Bobby.
Bruno, what do you think? Do you
think that JP, man?
Bruno, do you think that these twins are going to stay loyal to the sixth sense, or do you think that give it a week or two and these guys are going to branch off on their own, they're going to do their own thing, and then these guys are going to really start regretting this decision?
Yeah, you know, I think the way I see it is right now that one alliance is just controlling everything. They're winning every week. I think as soon as that other side wins, they're going to start, you know, getting that inner fighting. They're going to start turning on each other. Nobody wants to be the target, and I think it's going to turn pretty quick. It could be a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, who knows? But letting that twin in the house, I don't know what they were thinking. You know, like I said, you want to get people out of that house. You don't want people in the house. Those two girls are loyal to each other first over anybody else. And you know what? Austin's kind of in that mix. I mean, I know they're kind of like, you know, they think he's a creep or whatever, but you know, he is loyal to them, right? So they do have three numbers technically with themselves, and they can kind of branch off and pull someone else in or do whatever they have to do. But no, that alliance, I think as soon as the other side wins, they're going to start crumbling. They're going to see a lot of cracks. I already see a lot of cracks, and it's going to kind of break soon.
Yeah.
Now, just to play devil's advocate here, we're assuming that if the twins don't make it in the house, that your big brother, the producers, they're going to need to somehow make up for this down the road. And I imagine the way in which they would do that is they would bring somebody back into the game. Do you guys think that maybe that is something that they had in mind, that they figured, hey, why don't we keep just these two girls in the house rather than vote out, let's say, a Clay or an Austin, and then have them come back to haunt us in future weeks when they come back into the houses? That's something, do you think, that was maybe on their minds when they made this decision?
Well, it's great TV. You saw from our season, it may piss off the house guests, but it makes great TV. You want to see people who got knocked out fight for a second chance. They're fighting even that much harder to get back into the house. It would make great TV, especially with the huge personalities, obviously, that, again, huge personalities leave first and Big Brother. It's just what happens. You close your mouth for a few weeks. That's what you do. But I think it would be epic to watch them come back to this. And maybe they did have it up their sleeve, because I don't know if they'd cut the game shorter or have it season end shorter. So maybe they had something like that up their sleeve that we didn't really need to watch.
Bruno, what do you think about that? Do you think that maybe that was in their mind? And what would you rather deal with? Two twins that are obviously loyal to each other, or having to speculate on somebody coming back into the house that you voted out with potentially new information after coming from the jury house to come bite you in the butt later on in the game?
Yeah, you know, when you put it that way, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those, I guess. But at the same time, someone that's voted out, there's going to be, you know, there's going to be bad blood towards somebody. You can kind of use that to your advantage, depending what side you're on. But yeah, I still don't think the twins, I mean, they're obviously loyal to each other. You know, their life, you know, they grew up together and everything. They're with each other before anybody else. There's nobody getting in between them. I don't think they should have let her back in. I think that was a bad move. Yeah. No matter which way I look at it, I think it's a bad move.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the other thing that Julie announced was Battle of the Block is over. Let's all rejoice.
Thank you. Sorry, production, but
you can see my, or anyway, well, yeah, it's just amazing that the Battle of the Block is over. I'm so happy because I am just not the biggest fan of that twin. It's not the greatest.
Not a lot.
Personally, that's not what I think. I believe that this game is much better when it's one HOH, two nominees. You just play it out that way. Are you guys in the same boat? And you think that it's easier to play in a season like that we played in with one HOH and two nominees? Or is it easier when there is a Battle of the Block and stuff like that, when there's all these pawns and you could potentially get the safety? Bruno, what do you think about that? What's easier, Battle of the Block or no Battle of the Block?
You know what? Well, here's the thing. Every week, Battle of the Block, you see the same thing. You know, go up, throw the comp. It just kind of like eliminates, and it makes it pointless. And it's just, I don't know. I'm with you, JP. I don't like Battle of the Block. I'm not a fan of twists myself. So, you know, when it's this BB takeover, which kind of disappeared all of a sudden, you know, I'm not a fan of that stuff. I like just let the players play, let them do their thing, and let the best player win. That's what I like. So a straight season, just, you know, one HOH, two nominees, fight for it, a veto. If you win, good for you. If not, well, hey, that happened.
Yeah.
Definitely. I'm in for like just a one HOH for sure.
Yeah.
Bobby, do you think that it's easier for those guys playing in a season with the Battle of the Block, or do you think it's harder?
Oh, there are definitely more angles to the game. Some angles that I think actually take away from Big Brother a little bit, and certain strategies get implemented that really kind of take away from the gameplay, I think. As for easier or harder, I don't know. I guess it's easier a little bit for the person who's the target if they get thrown on the block, because they get one extra chance to fight. But then if the other person's throwing it, they could be fighting by themselves, which you saw, I guess, was it Liz do in this battle of the block, and she killed it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I guess a little bit easier, but it's just so much angles to throw. It's a harder question to answer. It's a really hard question to answer. I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's just one of those things. Cause if you think about it, usually you would see some more of these bigger physical threats be out of the house at this point. We're 5 weeks in. The real only physical threat that we saw leave was Jeff in week three. Other than that, the people that have gone home are, I mean, we had what we, oh, I guess Jace, you could say. Jace, yeah, that's true. Jace, but I don't know. I guess it's hard. It's one of those things that we would have to look back and think and study about this for a long time. And that's another podcast for another day, but it's just an interesting question. I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah.
And Bruno, you touched upon this. The BB takeover is nowhere to be seen for the second week in a row. I know how you feel about Twisto's twists. Bobby, what do you think about the no BB takeover the last 2 weeks? Do you like this idea? And do you think that it's extinct and we're not going to be seeing it again for the rest of the season? Or do you think that it's going to creep up on us at some random time?
I think it's definitely going to creep back up. I think it's weird that how they had like what, four or five, like a million of them all of a sudden, and then just none for 2 weeks. I think they could have nicely spread out maybe two or three over maybe, let's say, the season, or at least three quarters of the season, maybe like four total. But like, I'm with Bruno here. Twists kind of sometimes take away from the game as well. I'm sure Bruno could agree with that. I wasn't necessarily fucked in the ass by a twist, but I know some people who were. But I don't know. I expect to see it, definitely. They're not just going to let something like that go. It was she mentioned a bunch of times, it's a big part of their season. It did disappear, but it's definitely coming back soon.
So Bruno, I know you're not a big fan of the twists, but did you at least like the themes that they were doing? They did the 90s week. They did the Gronk party week. Do you think that they should have at least tried to do one of these other themes per se for one of these weeks?
Well, he wanted a generation he was born in, so he wanted the 70s theme.
Oh, here we go.
Yes, yes, Mr. Olenek. What?
Wait till I see you, Bobby. You're gonna get it now.
I love you, bro.
You're the best. You know what? I don't know. Again, I just think that stuff's pointless. I'm all about like the strategic game, the, you know, seeing how people place themselves and how they get in and out of trouble, and you know how they're positioning themselves as the weeks go on, how they adapt, go roll with the punches, stuff like that. You know, the comps I'm not really big into. Just, you know, that the little twist like that, the 90s thing, it was all right. But I mean, I just care about the hardcore game, just seeing how people like do their thing. And then that's what I'm about. That's what I care to watch. That's what I like to see. That's my thing.
What if we had an Xbox One BB takeover? Would that interest you, Bruno, or no?
If I was there, they wouldn't stand a chance. So, but yeah, that would interest me.
Maybe we could do Dark Age of Camelot or something that. That would be great. Okay, so we're going to get into the live feeds here. So we're going to discuss what happened, because there was an endurance competition. It was hanging on to a leaning wall, and there were some rock climbing holds. And I thought, wow, Bobby would do great at this. Yeah, and unfortunately, he was not involved in that competition. So we're going to announce who won that competition, who is going to be going on the block. So if you do not want to hear this, you can tune out right now. You can join us again after the Sunday episode. I will also be hosting Rob Has a Podcast on Sunday, so make sure you tune in for that as well. Thank you very much for tuning in, and we will talk to you then. Okay, spoiler time. So we had an endurance comp. Bobby, Bruno, do you know what happened?
No.
Bobby.
I don't know what happened. You want me to guess?
Yeah, why don't you guys guess? Who do you think won HOH, Bruno?
It was the one on the wall, right?
Yes.
I'm going to say probably James, actually. I'm going to say James won.
Okay, Bobby, who do you think?
Ooh, no, you need the upper body for sure. I don't think this one's going to be as much about legs. It's a great question. I mean, also body weight comes into it a little bit. I can see if Clay doesn't want to throw it. He's a pretty beefed up guy. Austin, I don't know. Austin's a pretty big guy. So I don't know. Maybe I think Sixth Sense might, one of the people in the Sixth Sense, I could see them dominating this competition again. I don't know how Becky is as far as physical goes, but maybe someone I could see, maybe Shelly, Claire, Austin, maybe not Austin, maybe Shelly, Claire. Shelly.
Okay. So Bobby says Shelly, Bruno says James. And Bobby, you mentioned if you weren't sure about Becky's physical acumen. She said in the Wednesday episode, I'm a rec soccer player. He's an NFL draft pick in regards to Clay. So she does play soccer, and I think she runs. I don't think Becky is ridiculously in great shape. But to answer the question, James is your new head of household. So Bruno is
Nice. James, really?
Yes, James is head of household. So James is your head of household. Last night was a little bit crazy because was the final three in the competition were James, Shelly, and Johnny Mack. They made a deal with Shelly and James agreed that Johnny Mack is good, so Johnny Mack dropped, and Shelly made James agree to not put her on the block or Clay on the block this week backdoor them as well. And James said, okay, sounds good. Just drop. Shelly drops. James gets HOH.
Tell me you put them up.
So
tell me you did it, man.
There was a lot of scrambling. We had Vanessa go to James to make a deal. She made a deal for her own safety. We had Austin go to James as well to make a deal for his own safety.
There we go.
Vanessa said she didn't want to know what was going to happen. I think she figured likely that James was having some mixed feelings on that initial deal he made. Steve went to James and said, hey, James, what are you going to do? And he said, I want to go after a heavy hitter this week. Steve said, is that me? James said, no offense. You're not a heavy hitter, Steve. So long story short, I do not have the official news yet because at the start of this recording, it had not been announced. But as long as nothing insane, dude, has happened since the start of this recording, Shelly and Clay are nominated.
Nice. For eviction. That's good. That's good. That's what I want to see, man. That's good.
So James has said that he...
Who's nominated? Sorry, I missed that.
It's Shelly and Clay, Bobby.
Ooh, yes. Sick.
So
James you have to do both. You can't do one and another person. So I'm glad they both went.
Because what happened, James had this discussion last night as well with Meg and with Jackie, trying to figure out what the plan was for this week. And James basically came to the conclusion that, look, if I'm going to put one of them on the block, the other one's going to be pissed off anyway because
that's
I went back.
Three people are going to piss off. Yeah.
Might as well put them both up on the block. So that is exactly what James did this week. They are both nominated. And just as you guys mentioned, the Sixth Sense, things might start crumbling around them very quickly here because they're going to have to turn on each other. Vanessa did not negotiate to save Clay and Shelly. Austin did not negotiate to save Clay and Shelly. They wanted to save their own skin. That's what they did. And in turn, we have Clelly, as they call it, on the block. So let's get into James here. What do you think of his game so far? He won this first HOH competition. Since then, he got rid of Jace, who is, as we mentioned earlier, a big physical threat, a big player in the game. What do you think of his game so far? He kind of went back to sleep. Now he's waking up. And again, he's going to be going for a big threat this week. Do you like this idea and his approach, Bruno?
Yeah, you know, I think James is a beast. I think he's a great player. Again, like you said, you know, he came out hard. He went back in the shadows and now he's back to play. And you know what? He's doing it right. I think he's doing great. He's been on the block, four times now? I don't even know what it is, but he's a great, great player. I think he's doing a fantastic job. And you know what? He finally gets power and he's not going to waste it. He's going for the juggler. He's going for, Clay and Shelly. And you know what? That's a good move. It's the right move for sure. No, he's good. He's good.
Bobby, do you agree? Yeah. Is that the best move for James right now? And do you think that winning HOH was probably a good idea for him? Or was it a detriment to his game, per se?
Well, with the final two, you're saying in the comp, he almost had to. But I'd say maybe if he was left in the HOH comp with someone else on his side of the house, I definitely would let that one go for sure. It would be a detriment for sure, because someone's going to obviously have to put up two people on the other side of the house. You'd never want it to be you, especially if you already won an HOH comp. And you're seen as pretty much a threat. You've been on the block a lot of times. It's going to be scary for him in the weeks upcoming. But having Shelly be the final two with him in the HOH, he definitely made the right move. You do Clay and Shelly for sure. You don't do Austin or Liz and piss off first of all the twins and probably the Sixth Sense Alliance. You want to isolate the couples and pull a Godfrey, this ain't no lover's paradise kind of thing, and send one of them packing.
I want your blood on these hands, yo. And then don't get any blood on your hands. That's the move. Now, This, I have an interesting question for you guys. What do you do when you piss off one entire side of the house? And for those of you, again, who did not watch Big Brother Canada 3, Bobby and Bruno were in on this huge plan orchestrated by one half of the house to strike at my side of the house to vote me out in a vote of 5-4, as Bobby has on his shirt today.
Nice shirt, Bobby.
Yes. So what do you guys, how do you approach it? Yeah, and here, look at this up on the screen. Bobby, hold that up again. Can you hold that up again, Bobby?
There you go, baby.
5-4, for those of you listening in the audio archives.
I got a song for you later on my guitar if you really want, JP.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we'll save that for the end. But what do you guys think? You guys did a really good job of following the week that I went home. Neither of you really were ever in major danger that week. I guess you were to an extent, but neither of you were nominated. You didn't go home. So what do you do in order to get the target away from you when you make a big shot like that? Vanessa did that this week with getting rid of Jason. She pisses off 4 people. How does she overcome this? And how, like, what would you suggest to somebody like that in that type of situation?
Yeah, well, you know, this is a game of lies and manipulation. That's what Big Brother is. And you know what? She has to get herself out of that situation. She's going to have to go to the other side, start throwing her own allies under the bus and try to make little deals to work with them. That's what we did. We went to Zach and Ashley and we said, listen, man, you know, we did that. We got rid of JP, you know, because he was getting between us and blah, blah, blah. And you got to kind of use emotions and you got to kind of try to pull on certain strings. Anyway, you just got to make, you know, little deals and try to say, listen, I'm not coming for you. If I do come after that side, it's these people I'm coming after. You just gotta, you know, little side deals, make people, give them that little safety net or make them feel safe. I think she can get out of it. I mean, I really do. If she just says the right things to the right people, you know, this is Big Brother. Anything can happen, right? So it's just one conversation can change everything. That's for sure.
And now, Bobby, what do you think about, so Clay and Shelley are both on the block here. It looks like one of them is going to go home this week. If you're in that house right now, which of the two do you target? Because both of them have proven to be very capable game players, but it's hard to tell which one is better. Who personally, if it was you, would you go after?
I'd go after Clay. Physical comps, that's just alone on physical comps. You just have to take out the physical threat and then the social game you have to worry about. But obviously the immediate thing is to make sure that you get your side of the house can bust out those comps. Whereas a big physical threat is, I think at this point, is a lot more, you want to take them out over the mental threat for sure, or a good social game.
Bruno, would you agree with that? And Bobby, just another thing to think about, Shelly has already won 2 head of households to Clay's 1 power of veto. Did. So Bruno, what do you think about that?
I'd agree. I'd say get rid of Clay. From what I see, I don't think the house really likes Shelly too much. I don't think she gets along with too many people. And I don't think people trust her. So I think to get rid of Clay would just kind of put a bigger crack in that alliance if they just got rid of Shelly. Clay's a beast. That guy's a monster. So he would have to go.
We saw in that in his veto comp, when he needs to turn on the Jets, he turns on the Jets. We've seen it our season with Johnny and Kevin. Look at Kevin and damn it. He just went into a different mode and he blew me away for sure in that competition. Ever since then, I was already scared of him. After that, and after Johnny, same thing in Spooling Around and the other one. After that, I was terrified of them. They could throw on the Jets when they need to. So I know Clay maybe had a couple throws early in the season, but after watching him play in veto, He's got coordination, he's got strength, he's got stamina, he's a huge physical threat.
Yeah. Now, they're in a really tough spot right now. Before this week started, Clay and Shelly, to me, I was in my head comparing these guys to Emma and Jillian from Big Brother Canada 1. Now, not quite yet, but I figured that they had that type of potential in their games with how things were going. They've been behind pretty much every single eviction. Nobody has even thought about going after them. Everybody wants to work with them. They're great looking. There's a lot of similarities between the two. Now, this week, it's going to be incredibly difficult for them to both survive. Bruno, is there anything that they can do to last this week? Or no, are they done?
Well, you know, it's one of those things where, again, it's just one conversation can change everything. People, you know, they got to go and make certain deals. I mean, you have nothing but time in that house. And you know what? Like, even myself, the night that I was evicted in our season, before I went to bed, I said, you know what? I should go talk to Brittany. I should go talk to Brittany. This could be a $100,000 conversation. And I just chose to go to bed. And you know what? That conversation I didn't have cost me my game. So it's one of those things where you just have to have that conversation. Just talk to people and you can get yourself out of any situation. That's the way I felt. I said, if I can just get my hands on people, you know, just kind of get in their ear, I could get myself out of any situation. And that's what they have to do. They have to put in work. They can't just sit up in the HOH room. They have to put in some work and they can do it. They can definitely, they're the power couple. People may want to work with them. People see them as, you know, we can go with them. We can go with them and we'll go far. So they got to use that to their advantage. They're the people that, you know, that couple people want to work with. Use that. Use that power. Use that tool.
Do work, Canada. Do work.
Do work. Let's play.
That's right. We'll get into that in a little later. my favorite phrase. Now, two guys that I want to talk about here are Johnny Mac and Steve. We mentioned earlier that those guys were kind of viewed as a pair. It hasn't really been touched upon on the show too much, but they have formed an alliance. It's called the Rock Stars. So these guys are both working together, and neither of them were really considered people to go on the block this week, really, when if you look at it, Johnny Mac and Steve have both proven they can turn it on in competitions, and they're pretty good threats in this game. Do you guys think that they can make a deep run if James takes a shot at Clay and Shelly this week because everybody's going to be going after each other and they're kind of just going to sit back and nobody's really going to touch them? Bobby, what do you think about that?
Yeah, they're definitely in an amazing spot. They're not on anyone's radar. James is going to get the blood on his hands after trying to take a stab if that side of the house doesn't crumble and they kind of stay together. They'll be going right back after Jason. They'll be sitting pretty. Johnny Mac and Steve. Steve, thank you. I think they're in a great spot right now as far as the house goes. They got Becky also in front of them. Like, it's just all like Bruno did. It's all about placing people in front of you. And right now, Jason's the first to go on that side. I think even if they work on maybe a little bit of the relationships, maybe slowly working on some relationships on the other side of the house, just very subtly, it could go really far, really far.
Bruno, who do you think has the higher upside and has the better chance to win this game right now, Steve or Johnny Mac?
You know what? That's a good question. I think I'm going to say Steve, even though I'm rooting for Johnny Mac. Steve hasn't done anything. He hasn't done anything. So there's nothing really that they can use against him. But at the same time, there's nothing he can really use for him. Johnny Mac, you know, did some favors for Shelly and Clay, but I don't know, man. That's a good question, but I was a little surprised with Steve. I thought Steve was going to be, you know, a smart player. He's going to be involved in a lot of things. He's going to have his fingers in there, but he's been pretty much non-existent, which kind of really, really, really surprised me for sure.
Yeah, but to win the grand prize, that doesn't make a great resume. I think Johnny Mac's resume is probably a little bit better if you're pleading to your fellow house guests. I mean, Johnny Mac threw a couple battle of the blocks or whatever. He went along. He made some great moves. I think he's a really smart guy, like just the way he's been playing. You can't say no when HOH asks you to throw a comp where you're just immediately making an enemy and you're probably going to go home. So he made the right moves there. I think Johnny Mac's got a great resume for if it was them final two. And depending on what Steve did, I'd probably give it to Johnny Mac so far.
See, the way I see Johnny Mac's game, it's great for now. I think it's a short-term game. I think by Final Four, they're going to be like, this guy's got to go. I think he's going to go deep, but to win it, I mean, I'd love for him to win. I'm team, you know, Rockstar Dentist, man. I love this guy. You know, I picked him in our pool. I picked him before anything started, you know, before, you know, everyone was on that bandwagon. But at the same time, it's just the way I see his game going. It's more of a short-term thing, and I think it's going to die out near the end. I think he's going to go near the end.
Yeah, Bobby, I'm with you right now. I think Johnny Mac definitely has the resume to win this game, and Steve does not have that yet. But I'm also with Bruno in thinking that Steve, at least I believe, has a chance of lasting longer because he's kind of just sat around, stayed back, hasn't done too much. The difference is that socially, Steve is not the greatest player. He's still a little bit awkward. You saw that scene on the, I believe it was the Wednesday episode when Austin walks into the room and Steve's sitting in there by himself and Austin just says, get out, we need to talk right now. That is not a rare occurrence. Stuff happens like that quite a bit on the feed. Steve just goes in rooms by himself and people say, Steve, why do you do that? That's so weird. And he's just like, what? I'm just hanging out in a room. So whereas Johnny Mac is the kind of person that everybody loves. They laugh at his jokes. He's hilarious. So I think that if the people are using their heads more, they'd be more afraid of Johnny Mac. But if you just look on it at the from a surface level point of view, Johnny is a lot more likable. So therefore, he's the kind of guy that people might just want to, like a Becky or a Jackie might want to just keep around just because they love him so much. And you guys know what it's like in there. Certain people are always thinking about who's the biggest threat, but other people just are thinking, well, I like this person, so that's why I want to keep him around, right?
Yeah, but Steve's using, I want to call it the Victoria strategy, where they're not doing anything, but hey, she made it to the final three. If this guy can make it to final two, you might have that jury that says, you know what, let's just give it to this guy, depending who he's sitting beside. You never know. I mean, like, again, this is Big Brother. You never know how it goes. But people were saying, you know, if Victoria's in the final two, they were going to vote for her. I mean, come on. And she didn't really do anything either, right? So you never know. You never know.
Yeah, wasn't that Caleb? He's like, yeah, Victoria's in the final two, I give my vote to her, baby. She's my cowboy. It's just like, what are you thinking? But you're right, Bruno. Anything can happen. Juries have different reasons for voting for people all of the time. And you never know with Big Brother. It changes every season. So, okay. Let's get into some questions here. And I didn't talk about this at the start of the show, but if you want to leave a question and you're watching us live here on YouTube and robiswebsite.com, you can do so by leaving a comment on the YouTube page or by tweeting us using the hashtag RHAP. Okay, so the first question is from Tony1996, and he asks, who would be Bruno's meat shield in BB17? Bruno, who would you use as a meat shield?
Well, first off, what's up, Tony? I would use Austin. Austin would be the perfect meat shield of that season. As soon as I'd meet that guy, I would pull him in and say, hey, bud, it's me and you. Let's do this. And he would be the best meat shield, 100%. Yeah.
You want someone emotionally unstable. is essentially it. Come on, Greg. Oh,
man. I wasn't going to say it, but yeah. You want that guy. You want that guy that, you know, you tell him a little something and you make them think, you know, and he's thinking about it and he might go say something and you know how it goes. You want that
except
guy.
Except for me, because I don't talk game ever.
Yeah, no, Bobby's the best. Bobby's my boy.
Bobby, over under 100 times did you say, I never talk game in the Big Brother
camp? At least all of them. Maybe about 1,500 to 2,000 range. But you know what? You make fun of me as much as you want. It's, sometimes it works. Sometimes it worked. But I think people caught on to it when they see me sneaking away. But I think I was a little bit discreet with it at some point.
Okay. The next question.
There's not much I can say for you, champion, and back there. Oh,
man. We don't need to get into that. We'll save that for the Big Brother Canada 3 season in review podcast. Okay. I know. Mary Duda 444 asks, after two seasons of Battle of the Block, was it good? Was it bad? What's the assessment? Bruno, do you ever want to see Battle of the Block
ever again? Never, ever, ever, ever again. I don't like it. It's not fun. It just doesn't do it for me. As soon as I heard that, I was just like, you know, you just kind of like, come on. It's something you don't want to see. And I don't think, and when they said it was a favorite twist, a fan favorite twist, I was kind of surprised. I've never met anybody or talked to anybody that likes it. So that was kind of news to me.
Bobby, what do you think about that?
The exact same thing. I do not like Battle of the Block at all. It almost changes the game of Big Brother for us, like super fans, I guess, or for the people who are like involved in the game. It's almost like you're playing a completely different game that's not even Big Brother anymore as compared to without Battle of the Block. Absolutely. So I think it just adds too much different dynamics. It's almost like bad to win HOH. What, it should not be bad to win HOH. Like it's just too much different angles that you can play with Battle of the Block. I think it's more of a clean game, more of a strategy. I don't want to say strategy, but more of a clean Big Brother game without Battle of the Block.
Yeah, I'm with you guys for sure. I hope that Battle of the Block will never return ever again and that it goes to rest with the Saboteur, with the Clicks twist. Actually, I kind of like the Clicks twist. The coup d'etat, yes. The coup d'etat, Jeff. Yeah, for you, Bruno. I don't think
I'm Brett.
Okay. Anna Crocker asks, which twin do you think will make it farther, Liz or Julia? I'm thinking Julia because she seems more focused on the game. What do you guys think about that? Bruno, who's making it farther, Liz or Julia?
I'm agreeing with you on that. She seems to have her head more into the game and just more strategic. I agree with you 100%, Julia. I think Liz is, you know, even when they were talking back and forth in the diary room, Julia was kind of like, why would you do this? And we got to do this. Like, she was kind of dictating what they should have done, I felt. And I think she's going to go farther.
I'd say Julia as well. I think just the fact that Liz's name was on the poster for coming into the house, and just the fact that she was the first one into the house, he'll always go for her first. Like, that's just, I think, just the way to do it. It's almost like Julia's like her like co-pilot almost, so to speak. But I'd say Liz, I could see Liz definitely taking the fall first, especially because she actually has a relationship with Austin. So it's almost like a weird little showman's going on when it's not, I know. But she has ties, more ties than Julia does, obviously. So I think I could see Julia going further.
I gotta tell you though, that whole thing, they're pulling a Caleb Amber thing, I find, man. You know, the poor guy, man. Yeah. You know, the guy just, listen, he says it, man. He falls in love quick. You can't blame the guy, man. I feel bad for him. There's tons of people out there that do it. He's just on TV doing it. And anybody that's been in that house will tell you, when you're in that house, you build relationships 1,000 times faster than you would in the real world. You're with these people 24 hours a day. You know, he obviously has feelings for the girl. He can't help the fact that she doesn't have feelings for him. And, you know, nobody's telling him, you know, like the whole Caleb thing. His answer to it after when he watched it all said he just wishes that she would just flat out say, listen, I'm not into you, man. And he would have backed off. But everyone kept saying, hey, man, she's into you. So he kept pursuing it. And I just think he's getting a bad edit and a bad cut about it all. I mean, the guy likes her, man. Give the guy a break. You know, they're calling him a creep and stuff. But
no.
The guy just has feelings for the girl, man. You know, it's life, man. People, you know, people care about people all the time. It's just we're all witnessing it, you know, in the honeymoon stage or whatever you want to call it. I don't know, man. I think we need to give him a break.
Absolutely. And Bruno, that's a really good point. And I think that for those of you who haven't played Big Brother, I'm sure that you see the thing with Austin, you think, oh my gosh, he's a creep, he has a girlfriend, all this stuff, why is he doing this? But exactly what you said, Bruno, you hit the nail on the head in that when you're in there, the relationships get magnified times 1,000, things speed up incredibly quickly. And if Liz were just to say, if she could just say to Austin, look, I'm fine with being best friends with you, I just don't really have a interest in you romantically, 100%. I'm sure he would back off. So you can't really blame the dude. Liz is gorgeous. And you know what? As somebody who has made a lot of stupid mistakes with women before, I'm sure easily that could have happened to me. So you know what? I'm in the real world. It just didn't happen to be on television. So I think we got to give the guy a break. He's a human being.
Yeah.
Is he looking a little bit stupid? Yeah. But you know what? People always do stupid things when they're in love or they really like somebody a lot, and he just happens to be in a really tough spot with this. And I hope that sometime soon Julia or Liz just comes to him and says, hey, look, you know what, let's be friends, but for now I don't really want to do anything.
Absolutely.
Sooner than later.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot he has a girlfriend. That part, okay, like that's not cool. Like, you know, if you got a girl, you got to stay loyal to her. But
that's a messy situation. And you know what? At the same time, we don't know all the facts. He could have gone in there and said before this, he could have gone in and said, yeah, I broke up with, or he could have said, hey, I'm going on Big Brother, I'm breaking up with you, we'll see what happens when I get home. Because that has happened to people before. They've gone on to Big Brother before. That happened to our good pal Kevin before he went on the show. He has a girlfriend, he breaks up with her, but then when he's in the house, there's some confusion as to whether or not he has a girlfriend or not. And some people online were causing a ruckus over that, and we don't need to get into that, but we don't know all the facts. So I think for now we just got to give Austin the benefit of the doubt until we know everything, and absolutely, just give the guy a break. I think that Big Brother house guests get enough hate and crap after the show anyway, and I'm sure when he gets out, he's gonna find out all this stuff and he's gonna be like, whoa, this is crazy. And he's gonna have no idea, and he's gonna feel like a big enough idiot alone just for the fact that he felt this way towards Liz and she didn't really reciprocate those feelings. So the fact that he's going to come out and get all this stuff of people saying, whoa, you're a creep, blah, blah, blah. Come on, let's be positive here, right?
And that's the thing too. Like, I was that guy at home, and I never was like, you know, never bashing or anything like that, but I was the guy at home sitting on the couch saying, hey man, you know, these guys have been away from their family for 2 weeks. Suck it up, man. Why do you want a letter? Like, you know, just things like that. Just, you know, saying it, you know, amongst myself and my wife and stuff. But you know, when you're in that house again, you know, emotions are running so high, you don't even get to hear from them. And you know, myself, I have two kids, right? I don't know if they're okay, if they broke an arm, if whatever, you know. So, and it's just even the fact you don't hear their voice, you don't know anything about what's going on. You know, the emotions are just magnified 1,000%. So, you know, when you're in that house, I know when you're watching it at home, everyone has the right answer and, you know, they know how, what they would do, but you won't know until you go in that house. I'll tell you right now, everything you're thinking, you could throw it out the window, because once you go in that house, it's completely different and a lot harder than you think. That's for sure. I even went in myself saying, you know what? I won't care about any of these people. I'm going to go in and just slay them out. I don't care. No emotions. I'm not going to, you know, I don't care. And then look at Bobby. Look at that cute face. How can you not love that guy? You know what I mean? He's such a, you know, like, so it's, you know,
no, please go on, Bruno. Please
go on. Right. So it's, I was that guy on the couch too before. And, you know, now look, you know, I got friends for life, and you, JP, Bobby, everybody.
I love you all.
So we're a family. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And Ginger Ninja, everybody. And little did we know that in the house, there was this showmance that did not make the air. Actually, it briefly did, and that is Bobby, Britton and Bobby. Little did I know that the real showmance is Bruno and Bobby equaling Bobby. That's really what it should have been.
Yeah, you got it.
Epilogue, baby. Kill a beast.
Look at the abs on this guy, man. Come on.
Holy shit. I four. That's the abs right there.
Trey Bees. And speaking of the Trey and Kill a Beast, speaking of Trey Bees, though, let's talk about I didn't talk to you guys really about this too much. We saw the Wax Street Boys. Who do you guys think is better in terms of a dance crew, the Wax Street Boys or you guys?
We got a little bit of a biased opinion right now.
Yeah, you know what? You got two of the three Trey Bees here, bud. You know what? Yeah. Johnny Mack, we could recruit Johnny Mack in our crew, but you know what? I challenge the Wax Street Boys to a dance off.
Let's do it. Next time we get together with Brett, let's do it. Trey Bees, right, baby.
Here we go. Breaking news
here first.
Breaking news on the Big Brother Happy Hour. Yeah. We're going to have a dance off between the Trey Bees and the Wax Street Boys. Big Brother 17 finale, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. You should be there.
Let's do it.
I'm going to show up. I'm going to film it and then I'll post it on this YouTube channel so that way you guys can see it. It's going to be a good dance off. I'm excited. Okay. Let's move on to another question. And let's see here. This one is from Pierce Brooks and he says, who is better at the game, Jackie or Becky? Bobby, who do you think?
Becky had won one of the first HOHs, and then now Jackie has won her HOH as well. I think Jackie's probably the better game player. She seems like she's better at making social connections, I think, than Becky is. Becky seems like she's almost laying back now after HOH. But I think Jackie knows how to work people a lot better. You saw it in the last probably week and a half. I think Jackie's probably the better social player, and I don't know as far as like physical threats go, but I'd give it to Jackie.
Bruno, what do you think?
Again, I don't watch the live feeds. I don't have the live feeds, so I've only seen about 3 minutes of each of them. So from what I've seen, I'll say Jackie. That's all right.
Very decisive. Bruno, that is not an exaggeration. I think Jackie we've seen more of, but Becky, trailing back to, if you don't count week five, so before week five, the 7 episodes before that, she had a total of 0 diary room sessions. That's pretty crazy. Harsh. That's hard.
I'm just being honest. That's
no, hard. Yeah. And I mean, it's poor Becky. I mean, that sucks for her. I love Becky's hilarious. I think she's great, but that's 0 DRs.
Really needs to show how to get on TV or on live feeds at least. Get the friggin' entertainment up. Willow is the best to hang around, though. So, my God. I wish they showed more of her on the show because she was so entertaining for us in the house. It was nuts.
That's a great example, Bobby. Oh, 100%. Willow on the live feeds is dynamite, and then amazing. On the show, we don't really see much of that. We see it a little bit, but hey, that's Big Brother.
I was very surprised at that. I thought it was going to be the Willow show, just from being in the house. She was amazing, and you know, and then you watch it, and I was blown away by that. She was amazing to live in that house with. She was awesome. Awesome girl.
Kept us entertained for sure.
Yeah, it's crazy when you watch it because as a former house guest, because you think that it's going to be the Willow show, the Johnny show, the Kevin show, the Bruno show, the Bobby show, when in reality, there are only 3 hours a week and it's really hard for those editors to get that in there. So that's one thing that I think as a house guest, each of us has this new perspective on it in terms of there's so much stuff you don't see if you don't watch the live feed. It's crazy.
Yeah,
but anyway, we're going to get into the questions from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast. So if you want to be a patron of Rob Has a Podcast, learn about the benefits of that, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/patron to find out more. The first question we have is from Tyler Kakuno, and he asks, Bobby, will the Sixth Sense be as legendary as the Chop Shop?
Great question to ask my man Zach Olenek. Can we get a chop in or what, bro?
That's awesome. I'm awesome.
Chop Shop was not legendary. I like the name. I like the idea behind it. I seem to be the only one by the end of it. They're in a good spot right now. I hope the Sixth Sense does well, but like Bruno was saying earlier, now that the other side of the house has won HOH, we just found out they're going to shatter. This is the week. I think they're going to start drifting apart, making side alliances and not relying on each other so much and trying to branch off a little bit. I don't know. When did Chop Shop last to officially? Maybe day minus Zach, maybe day 35 is when, or day 33, it was spilt the beans. And we kind
I think so. Right around this time actually is when you kind of died. So
yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they could outlast us. But Zach was never in the first place. It's funny because I just watched the episode earlier today, JP, where he told you about the Chop Shop. But no, Chop Shop was not legendary. We were day three though. I don't know when the Sixth Sense was formed, so maybe we still have a couple more days under our belt than they do.
Okay, we'll see. If there was a captain of the Chop Shop, just a fan question, Bruno, who's the captain of the Chop Shop?
I would have said Greg was probably the original. And to me personally, when Greg got voted out, that's when to me the Chop Shop was done. I knew that was it. There was a crack in there, and that was the week that I knew it was done. I would say Greg. I would say probably Greg was the leader. I was there. Me and Bobby always were tight.
I kind of took over the reins after Greg.
But I was always. I just kind of used the Chop Shop as like a personal shield for myself. I was very.
Jeez, Bruno is meat shield.
But Bobby was the only. Bobby and Godfrey were my two loyal guys. I was there. There's the two people I was loyal to. The Chop Shop was in front of me. I used Zach's. He thought I was loyal to him. I used that. The Chop Shop, but it was done. It was done. What, week three or whatever? One great. Yeah.
Ginger Ninja 604, proper. Okay, Brian Gold is the other question from the patrons of Rob Has a Podcast, and he asks, what are we supposed to think of Steve? He's been all over the place, from socially awkward nerd to being in love with the camera to his evil DR about Becky. Bruno, which of these things is he?
You know what? I was really surprised when he had that thing against Becky. I didn't know where that came from. Obviously, we missed something on the live feeds. And again, I said it a little earlier there. I'm really, really surprised with Steve. I thought he was going to, be very strategic and kind of get people to do certain things. He's been non-existent, which is very, very, very surprising for me. And I don't want to stereotype, but, he literally, when I saw him, I was like, hey, Ian Terry, Jordan Parhar, those are the people I automatically... Yeah. Not to be like,
Those were the range of outcomes for him. And I think he's somewhere in the middle, Bruno.
But, that's the thing is I was like, okay, this guy, because JP, you were a great player, no doubt about it. You were an amazing player. You really had, a good grasp of the game. You were in such a good spot, it just, what happened, but you were in a great spot.
One mistake.
That's the thing, man.
Happened, my friends.
If you didn't go that week, JP, man, I'm telling you would have gone deep. And Ian Terry won his season, and I thought Steve was gonna do the same thing, but
here's the thing. I think Jason kind of took that role before Steve was able to. And if you already have one person doing that, you kind of almost don't do it yourself because someone is already kind of being that person, especially if they're getting some heat for like some people are talking about it. You're not going to be that person trying to set up stuff. He's floating right now. It's fine by him, I guess, but yeah.
Okay. And I've got two more questions for you guys. One is from my friend Joey Jojo Jr. Shabadoo, and he asks, Bruno, could you please tell the origin story of Let's Play Canada?
All right, JP, let's do this, baby. You know what? It never made the show. It never made the show. Okay, I'll get to tell you a good story here. So my boy JP here, sorry, buddy. The night he gets evicted, Godfrey's doing a speech. You want to be his cheerleader? You want to be Zach's cheerleader? And he's going on.
Fired up.
Which, man, I'm just amped up. I'm like, yeah, man, yeah. And then when it was like by a vote of 5-4, by a vote of 5-4, JP's evicted. I was so amped. Sorry, JP. I was so pumped up that it actually went through. I jumped up off the couch and I was like, let's play, Canada. And I went nuts. And I look around and everyone's jaws are just dropped in dead silence. I'm the only guy. I jump in the air and I yell it out. And I'm like, oh. So I had to like sit down and I'm like, hey, you know. But yeah, that's how it came out. It was just, let's play, Canada. It's time to play. You know, I'm here to play. Let's play. Because I did sit low for a few weeks. And basically, it was like, now it's time to play. And yeah, it just came out. It was just raw emotion.
So JP, no, you voted for him. And I think JP knew I voted for him too. And Sarah too. Man. JP could probably tell us the story behind that one, I think.
You know, I love you,
we'll
brother.
We'll save that for another podcast when I do the of my game of Big Brother, but that's okay. It's a super long story, but it's funny. Bobby was sitting at the bottom of the stairs grinning from ear to ear, and that was how I know he screwed me over. But anyway, yeah, the Let's Play Canada thing is hilarious. It's a joke amongst the Big Brother Canada 3 people, because anytime anyone does something ridiculously stupid, now they just use hashtag Let's Play Canada. So for example,
but we turn into like an Adele voice.
That was in Jury House as well. But Bobby accidentally posted his banking information on his Instagram time. That was a Let's Play Canada. Godfrey Manguza, the lady, please, posted my phone number on Twitter accidentally one time. That was a hashtag Let's Play Canada.
I lost my passport and ID in Niagara Falls, so everyone knows where I live, or someone at least does. Let's Play Canada!
Oh, well done, Bobby. Okay. And Bobby, you said you have a song for me. Can we hear that song?
Oh shit, you really want to hear it? Okay, give me one second.
Of course.
Okay, before we hear, so Bobby's gonna get ready for this song. He asked me. We'll end it on that. Bruno, who do you think's gonna win this game? Who's your pick?
To win, I'm rooting for Johnny Mac. I don't think he's gonna do it. You know what? That's a good question, man. I'm gonna go out and say Meg.
Okay, good pick. Johnny Caltrullio had the exact same pick week one. So there you go. Interesting. Okay, Bobby.
Yeah, it goes well with the topic at hand, actually, now that we're just talking about the 5-4 vote.
Okay, here we go. So Bobby has a song for us, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a short
audio. Bobby has his guitar. But yes, Bobby, take it away, my friend.
All right. It's ironically enough to the tune of Good Riddance by Green Day. Can you hear it well?
Yeah, we can hear
it.
The first blind side of the season, it was a 5-4 vote. I told JP I had it, but my vote suggested no. For a second, I thought I trust Godfrey had passed. I'm going to restart that part. Ready? For a second, I thought my trust in Godfrey had passed. But Bruno reassured me it was time to fuck JP in the ass. It's quite unpredictable, but no longer tight. A great player gone, but great TV that night.
Well done, Bobby Hlad, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my goodness, Bobby.
Gotta keep it entertained for you.
That was good, buddy. That was
a great song. Wow, what a great way to end this episode. Thank you so much. Hilarious song.
JP.
Yes, I appreciate that. Now, Bobby, when are you gonna be going on iTunes here? I wanna buy a song.
No, fat chance, brother.
You don't wanna be the like Zach Rantz and come out with your own single?
Only about you.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of the Big Brother Happy Hour. If you want to support this show, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes by going to robezawebsite.com/happyhour. You can also subscribe to the reality TV Rehapups page on iTunes as well. You can do that by going to robezawebsite.com/Rehapups. We also have a YouTube channel where if you want to watch all of these videos each and every Friday, you can subscribe to us and support us that way. That would be awesome. So it's just the Reality TV Rehapups page on YouTube. And if you want to give this video a like to help us out and have more people find this, that will be awesome as well. You can follow both of these guys on Twitter. Bruno is at BBCan3Bruno and Bobby is at Bobby_Hlad. I am at Jordan Parhar. Bobby, Bruno, anything you guys want to plug before we get out of here today?
Just a thank you, Jordan. Thanks for putting us on the show. I love seeing your guys' faces more than anything else, but to try to make it more entertaining of a show, I'm glad you put me on. I hope I did a good job, man. But amazing to see you again, brother. I fucking love you so much. You know that.
I love you too, Bobby. Thank you so much. Yeah, Bruno.
JP, you're the man. I can't wait. You know, I have family in Chilliwack. Can't wait to go down there. I'm going to come see you. I want to say happy birthday to Gina Parhar.
Whoa, today?
Thank you. Yes, my mom.
Happy birthday.
Yes, give her a nice happy birthday to my mom.
Absolutely. Awesome. It's a shout out. I want to, and you know, just to, you know, my wife and, you know, Vanessa, Tom, Anna, you know, my sister, my brother, and my wife, my kids, and everything. Just want to say what's up. Love you guys.
Aren't they in the other room?
I love the
That's a thing. Oh, yeah. So I guess that kind of doesn't make sense because they're actually at the cottage, and I have a bachelor party to go to tomorrow and the podcast tonight. So they went up to the cottage, so I won't see them this weekend. So.
Well, Bruno, thank you so much for joining me, and Bobby, you as well. I really do appreciate it very much. Guys, we need a hashtag for this episode so that people can tweet us and tell us they got to the end of the show. I was just thinking the classic hashtag Let's Play Canada. Do you guys agree?
I like it. Seems to be the theme.
That's the theme. Okay. So if you guys like this show, you want to let us know what you thought about it, you can tweet us. Use the hashtag Let's Play Canada.
5-4
Or yeah, if you want to use the hashtag
spelled out in words.
That works as well. Whichever one you prefer, let us know. And don't forget to tune into Rob as a podcast on Sunday night, in which I'll be live after the Big Brother 17 episode at 6:15 Pacific, 9:15 p.m. Eastern. Rob is away for the weekend, so I am actually going to be on the mothership batting, pinch hitting for Rob. It's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to it. Sick. Hopefully it goes well. Spencer Clausen from Big Brother 15 is going to be my guest, so it should be a really fun show. Okay, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Really do appreciate it. For Bruno Aiello, Bobby Alad, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Let's Play Canada. I'll talk to you soon. Peace out.
Thanks, everyone. Peace out. See you later.
Later. One love.